That is indeed the case. There is nowhere else that we'd rather be than in the heart of your love, knowing through that love your commitment to us and your focus on us. We are so grateful, Father. We are so grateful. And we pray that in the short time we have focused on you in this service, that we would be freshly aware of your love for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. How wonderful to welcome you to St. Mary's. It's great to see you, and thank you for coming, and thank you, Chris and James, for leading us in worship this evening. We have the Glory Mile, which is a wonderful evening of worship and teaching and ministry between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock in St. Margaret's, just the other side of the Bank of England. Like everything round here, you come when you can and go when you have to. But if you do want to come this evening, you will be very welcome. It will be a wonderful time. May I read you a few? Oh, and there are always these. I ought to have waved this at you. There are more at the back, just to give you information, of course, all the details on the website. Let me read you a few verses of Acts 9. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became ill and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood round him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. It's very easy to be relaxed about life, isn't it, when things are going as we'd expect them to, when there are no surprises, when all is going well. It is different when we're faced with the unexpected. Then we can quite often feel thrown by what we hadn't expected to happen. Those moments when we wonder what to say, or what to do, or even how to pray. And the Apostle Peter knew all about that, as we've just heard. It should have been a pretty normal day. Like all the apostles, he'd been based in Jerusalem during those tense days after the martyrdom of Stephen. But now life was basically returning to normal. Everyone was settling down. So Peter decided to catch up with various groups of Christians who lived in different parts of the country. It should simply have been catching up with friends, saying how things had been during the difficult times, praising God that they'd survived the persecution. But he quickly found himself being put on the spot about how to pray, and he must have wondered how the Lord Jesus was going to respond. The first challenge happened in Lydia, where he came across Aeneas, who, as we read in verse 33, had gone through an awful 8 years. He'd been paralyzed and bedridden, and Peter simply heals him. It's extraordinary when you think about it. Not unexpectedly, news of this spread round about the place, and the Christian community in Joppa sent a couple of people to invite him to come to them quickly. One, the key members of the church there had died, and clearly they were hoping that Peter would raise her from the dead. Even Peter, who was not knowingly ever understated or lacking in confidence, apart from on one occasion, must have felt a little hesitant about this particular challenge. Healing was one thing, teaching was another. Raising from the dead must have stretched even his faith. However, on both occasions, we see him responding in a similar way. In what he said and in what he did, he made it clear that everything was done in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 34, when he's healing Aeneas, he says that completely explicitly. And in verse 40, he underlines it by the way he acts. As no one else must have been there, he must have talked later about how the first thing he did after he cleared everyone from the room was to kneel and to pray. Peter realized his total dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ, how he could do nothing without Jesus. Peter also took Jesus as a model in the way he responded. In the second part of verse 4, the words that Peter said to Aeneas reflect exactly, word for word, what Jesus said to the paralyzed man who was lowered by his friends through the roof, as recorded in Mark chapter 2. And in verse 40, he says exactly what Jesus said to another woman in Mark 5, whom he raised from the dead. The only difference in the second one is one letter. He followed the model laid down by the Lord Jesus Christ. He clearly thought a lot about how Jesus responded to those situations which everyone else, frankly, would have ducked. And because of those two things, his total dependence on Jesus and the way he'd modeled himself on the Lord Jesus, Peter was someone through whom Jesus continued to work in the world. Of course, our situations are completely different to his, but our call is actually exactly the same. The Lord Jesus wants us to be those through whom he can work today in this city. People whose faith is mature enough to be ready to make a difference when we're faced with the unexpected. Could be that we find ourselves put on the spot about what we believe. It could be that we're faced with someone going through a difficult time. We just happen to have talked to them at work. Could be that we're even asked by a colleague to pray for something, even though that colleague doesn't believe, but as sometimes has happened to some of you, they're at the end of their tether, they don't know what else to do. Or when we see someone under enormous pressure, it's then that we need to be ready to be those through whom Jesus can continue to work in this city, through whom Jesus can make a difference, a very direct difference in the lives of individuals. And I think today he wants to recommission you and me to be those through whom he can work round here. It'll be different for every one of us, but he still wants to work through us. He simply needs us to say, "All right, I'm ready, Lord. I'll do it."